Good morning and welcome to Talk of Our Towns. Our usual host, Donna Quinn, is off today. I'm Kathleen Morgane, substituting. This morning we'll be hearing about a bond measure proposed by Seaside Public Schools. Voters will be asking to approve a $128 million bond for a new school campus. And to talk about that school campus with me in the studio this morning is Mary Blake, Doug Barker, and Scott Dougherty, and they are good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Let's start with Doug Dougherty and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Thank you. Doug Dougherty. I've been superintendent for about 16 years and living in the area for 32.
And Mr. Barker?
Doug Barker, resident since 1952. I've been here a long, long time. Grew up here, went through the school system, and come from emergency planning through TAG, which is Tsunami Advisory Group. That's my kind of interest in this bond issue. This has been part of our planning for many years now to include the school as part of the evacuation planning for tsunamis.
And Mary Blake, recently retired. It was a real privilege to serve my community for almost 30 years as the general manager for the Sunset Empire Park and Recreation District. The South County area. So I have been involved with the schools ever since I was with the Park and Recreation because of the caring collaborations that we always did. And I have followed this project, and I believe it's one of the most intentional projects I've ever been a part of. And I was eager and thrilled to be able to be part of the campaign to educate people for us to build a new school for the 21st century and also as safety for our community.
Now, this school campus, we have listeners all around the area, not just in Oregon, but also in Washington. Now, this new school campus is not just about education. It is also about public safety and in advanced planning for earthquake and tsunami threats that we're all subject to in this area. This is something that many communities will be looking forward to, are looking at to see how it progresses, and voters approve this, and the construction of this campus will be could be a leader, an example for other communities in our area. And who'd like to address that issue?
We'll jump in. Well, as you say, it will be the only building of its kind in North America when it's done. So yes, people will be coming from miles around to see this building.
Yeah. And people don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. And with that particular piece is, like I said, 20 years ago, my association and understanding of a tsunami was the artwork for a special event, because I used to say our waves mean welcome, which they do, and they still do. It's just that our understanding of nature and our environment around us, we are based on deep research and peer-reviewed information. We really are going to be dealing with some big events. And it's not just the tsunami, but in 2006 and 2007, we set up the emergency shelter at the Community and Senior Center and served over 9,000 meals over 125 hours and cared for people coming in. So there's preparation, there is holding people's hands, it's getting together, and as a community, getting through some pretty big stuff, but we do that together. And this particular process has included those kinds of plans. So that's really, again, you're starting to get the layers of how significant this project is.
One of the pieces on that is that we have, basically our schools have a high probability of collapsing in an earthquake. They were recently evaluated by external structural engineers. And so we know that they're not only very, very old, they average about 60 years, and they were built to last about 50. So we're seeing major systems within the schools, the heating, ventilation system, water lines, roofing systems, and septic systems are all failing. And so we know that we need to move quickly.
So voters are facing, in the event that a new campus is not built, even replacing the existing facilities carries a price tag.
Actually, we aren't able to even do that because they're all within the tsunami inundation zone. So legally, We can't make major changes to the schools. They're all 5 to 15 feet in elevation. We know that at this point, scientists have told us over and over again that we're basically about 20 to 50 years away from a Cascadia event, what they believe is we're within a cluster, and Cascadia subduction zone earthquakes, the magnitude is usually 8.7 to 9.1. And these are huge, huge earthquakes. And so we know that our buildings will collapse and that our staff and students likely will not be able to evacuate.
So, you know, this is supported by that science-based study that went on for years and quite deep in engaging a lot of different organizations. But for me, when we had the two Japanese folks coming over and sharing their stories with us, it wasn't about words. They had videos from iPhones. The breath that was taken out of a person when they saw the huge wave come in, and then the devastation was enough to start telling a deeper story on what can happen on March 11th, 2011, just north of Tokyo. And when it was posed back to the two folks, do you think that we're prepared? And they didn't even hesitate. They looked at us and they said, no. You know, we think that we're going through a process, and it has been a process over years on how to evacuate. It really isn't until you talk to somebody like Doug Dougherty, but also Doug Barker, who I, associate with, and we do respond to emergencies all the time. It is that aftermath, and how do we recover, and how long that will take. And these are issues that, and the damage that will be done, and the cost to communities and of lives and rebuilding. So that this campus will have the capacity of not only educating our children in the 21st century, which is this worldwide opportunity of having new eyes in a new building with efficiencies, and also with instructors knowing our children from kindergartners to high schoolers and really being effective with that. It's essentially that facility can be used by thousands of people in a emergency setup, not just for one day or 2 days or a week, but we are talking about months and possibly years. And that is that piece that people have to understand. This is an event that will go from British Columbia all the way down to California, and we aren't going to have some big swooping airplane to drop everything, into our target zone to save us. We will, because we will set a path on our own to be able to use the good science, our ingenuity, our innovation, this intentional planning that has been extraordinary. You're talking about talking to Fish and Wildlife, LCDC, other organizations and city governments. So this has been a very big inclusive project that has been really incredible to watch because of education and because of safety.
I remember talking to one of the emergency responders who worked in the earthquake in Japan. He said that it was vital to have a places in the devastation zone where people could come and get specifically fresh water.
That's right.
And it sounds like this campus, that would be one of the things
that's
the campus could provide for people. How many students does the school district serve at this time?
Right now, about 1,550.
And for long-range planning, what are
the
you...
The school is being... We had some demographic work done, and we anticipate... We're building the school so it will hold 1,700 students.
Now, the bond that people are asking to vote on is for capital construction. Is that true? And some people were wondering, well, we already pay money to operate the schools. Why are you asking us for more now?
Good. There are two different, and that's an important concept to understand. There's an operational budget that basically a board approves annually, and that pays for staff. 85% of that budget is in staff. Then what we're talking about is a capital improvement. It's a general obligation bond, and that's different. That's more like a mortgage. And so the way that you see that is that you pass a bond for a certain amount of money. That bond gets set at a certain rate, and then you pay that off over time. The nice thing that we have going for us right now is the bond rates are at historic lows. We know that they're beginning to increase, and that is something that concerns us because we know that this is our window, this is our opportunity. And right now, the bond rate that'll earn $128 million is $2.16 per thousand. And just putting that in perspective, we have other school districts. For instance, even Astoria passed a bond $2.04, but because of local conditions with them, they could only raise for that amount of money, $2.04, $21 million. We know that Corbett, where I'm comparing other schools that are of similar size, Corbett School District passed a bond for $2.20 per thousand. That could only raise $6.9 million. Even Gladstone, they passed a bond for $4.55 per thousand. That could only raise $52 million. Our bond is going to be a great value that for $2.16 per thousand, it will raise $128 million.
And you might ask, what is that going to pay for? Now, the resolution that the school district passed that you will also have detailed in your mail-in ballot that you'll be receiving on Friday, and then you need to get that in by November 5th. The project includes the land acquisition, including costs of urban growth boundary and city annexation. It goes on to cover construction expenditures, including without limitation, the hard and soft costs, insulation costs, material costs, site costs, and demolition costs. It's also going to include the technology and curriculum materials, furnishing and equipping the campus, related capital expenditures, and also the bond issuance costs. So it is a turnkey project that we certainly aren't going to surprise voters to say, ooh, that didn't include the chairs that our kids are going to sit on. We're going to expect them all to stand up. So, again, the thoughtfulness between, so many different organizations and gathering of folks to say what should it include, what will it include, are we going to fundraise on this, are we going to phase it in? This is, again, an intentional project that is complete and will not have any surprises.
I was going to say, also include in that, the reason that we have this, we can produce so much money with this election is that we have a very large number of vacation rentals, second homes, condominiums. These are places that produce tax revenue, they produce tax valuation, but they don't produce children. And so we estimate that 2/3 of the people or the properties that will be assessed have owners that do not live here.
And on that, I started calling my friends that don't live in the district or vote in the district. And they said, and I said, well, what do you think about this? And they said, you know, Mary, we chose Seaside, Gerhardt, or Cannon Beach as our second home because in their mind and in their planning, that's where they want to be. Is ultimately they want to grow there. They want to bring their children there during the summer days and during the winter storms. And they want to be able, in a lot of cases, people to retire in a community that has taken care of their kids, their economy, and also their property and their assessed values. So when we get calls at the chamber and they say, yeah, we're, you know, kind of looking to go for a vacation or we're looking to re-establish and buy or we're starting to consider a business there, can you tell us about, let's start with your schools, Then let's go with the hospitals and let's look at the economy. So this, again, has been fully endorsed unanimously by the Seaside Chamber of Commerce when they saw that this will be a surge. Because part of the piece that will be done is that as best we can, we will ask the contractors to look locally first to do the local work. And also, the building is going to be designed, and this is what is amazing, with new technology that will put an envelope around the materials. The materials will have a life expectancy of 75 to 100 years. That's generations. That's why the paying forward has been one of our social commitments to our kids and our communities, that we understand the importance of education and we understand how that gets done. It gets done with a tax dollar. People say, well, gosh, with these new requirements that you can't build in tsunami zones, well, why doesn't somebody throw money our way nationally or statewide? Why do we have to do the heavy lift? And we have tried to talk to to FEMA. There was a fun thing that you were saying. FEMA essentially responds after an event. And those dollars certainly, if put up front of an event, would certainly go longer and do better for us. But what was your acronym, FEMA?
Well, I think they should change the name. It should be Federal Emergency Recovery Agency instead of management, because you don't manage a disaster, you recover from it.
Correct.
And I think it needs to be renamed.
And also, I know that Doug, over the years, has spoken to all of our representatives.
Right. We, for instance, for many, many years, we've been working with Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley, and both of them have had a $10 million request into Congress for our school district just to move the schools. That actually went to, they held meetings on it. Unfortunately, about that same time, that's when earmarks received such a poor name. And they both came back to me saying, unfortunately, it doesn't look like any project like this is going to get funded. And so that was unfortunate. We have also been working with state legislators for a long time. And so that's been unfortunate for the state of Oregon, because we've had a very difficult time even just passing an education budget statewide. And so we continue to look, but unfortunately, from federal funds and from state funds, we haven't found anything yet.
And
For those who are just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns here on Coast Community Radio, and we're talking about a bond issue for the Seaside Consolidated School campus that will be built to not only serve the students, but to serve as a community resource in times of an earthquake or tsunami. And with me in the studio is Mary Blake, Doug Barker, and Doug Dougherty. And I'm sorry I interrupted you.
When Doug was talking about we've continued to look, so then the process went to finding a piece of land that could handle a campus like this. And if you know anything and fly over bird's eye view, there isn't a flat piece of land in our existing area. But the school district did own a bit of land just beyond where Seaside Heights sits. Seaside Heights, with the new Dagami inundation zone maps, is not out of the inundation zone. So that got swept into that new map. But we cut a little swath into the land that the city or this school district owns, and then started to go our way up to see how far we could take the building. And what is good news is it's contiguous with some land that the school district owns. It really is a contour as they're taking samples, that it would be a stepped, or so we would use the contour of the footprint to be part of the design. The design is going to take K through 12. So in a meeting the other night, I had a little 10-year-old girl say, well, what's going to happen? When is a high school student going to run over me or a kindergartner? And it's like, no, that's the cool part of it. The The campus is going to be about 80 acres, mm-hmm. There will be separate entrances for the elementary school, the middle school, and the high school. There will be parking lots, so you aren't going to have a lot of congested areas. There will be common areas, so we aren't replicating cooking facilities or auditoriums or gathering spaces, so we can efficiently and effectively use the full 300,000 square feet of a full campus. And when you look at the emerging 21st century, is that this is the efficient use of teachers as well as children on a campus where you really can make a significant difference in their lives. And they can stay on after school. There are going to be other related services that are very interested in showing up on the campus, not being with the park and recreation anymore, but that was one of the plans, is to get an active after-school program in. We've always dealt with child care. We've always dealt with health issues for our students. So there are, again, that transformational leadership that has been going on in this brilliant process, because it's collaborative. And it's collaborative in a sense of not only be driven, is this good, making good financial sense, but does it make good heart sense? And these guys kind of go, oh gosh, here Mary goes. I think that the body is informed by the heart. I think that we use the information that we need that is science-based, which this was peer-reviewed, so we do know that we are going to be preparing as a community for the inevitable, but also we have our youth to think about their futures in the 21st century and how that has significantly changed. So our designers have just recently finished a very similar project for the city of school district of Sandy. Their high school is just about the same square feet. It has all the elements in the project. You can go online to the school district's website, and you can see pictures of that, as well as there's a virtual tour if you want to, you know, go to that site. We've gone a couple times, so I saw it fresh and neat and new, and then I got to go after the kids were in it and go see how kids do with the facility, and it was quite amazing, and talk to the facilities manager and the maintenance folks, and also to the kids and to the adults who are in a new facility like that, and what it did for their pride, their engagement, their creativity. It was amazing, and we're talking about safety of our kids and safety of our community, but also the reality of the security of the campus is another element that you hate to talk about, but it is a new reality of our world, is that if something really goes down at our schools, this facility, no matter who or what is in the facility, will be secured, and we can tackle any issue that really happens there.
Oh, I was going to ask you, will there be a centralized library that will serve not only the high school but the grade school, or is this is all contained in one?
There are several efficiencies that we're going to have. Within the building, we're going to have the opportunity to have one centralized kitchen. We will have at least two, if not three, libraries that will be functioning together. Even the efficiency of staff. For instance, right now we have four schools. We used to have five schools, and we had staff members staff members that go around to every single school every day. And being on one campus, the efficiency of being able to work together K through 12, it's going to be amazing with the collaboration that we'll be able to have. The efficiency of the campus itself, we're told from the architects that we will save tens of thousands of dollars just in energy costs alone. And so that's money that can be reinvested into the classroom as well.
When you're talking about efficiency, does that mean staff reductions?
It means, for instance, right now we have a local option levy that our community has supported us since 2000. with additional funding for classroom use. That means for teachers and educational assistants, for example. What the efficiency means is that we may not need to have that local option levy. At least it will be greatly reduced. And so it will save money on that front for our taxpayers as well.
And what does that mean?
Right now it's 52 cents per thousand.
Okay.
And also the efficiencies is that though our architects have had the experience of building schools coming in on time and under budget, they are LEED certified, but this isn't a certified LEEDs building, and that seems to be getting a lot of talk, is that the efficiencies that are going to be placed in there are those that are required by law, but also that will recover and pay for themselves within a short turnaround, and not a new efficiency that would be hard to recover in a LEEDs building.
I want to go back to Mr. Barker. As far as the school itself, you being an emergency planner, what attracted you to this project?
Well, as I said, early on it was recognized that we needed something outside of the inundation zones to keep people at, and so it became part of the planning from when I started working with them. I'm not a planner, I'm just one of the committee members, but so it's been, this would be the ideal situation. We have the evacuation areas, they would serve as collection points, but for the long term, you need some place that can provide meals and shelter, and that's what this does.
Water.
You know, when I was in school in 1960, we just started learning about tsunamis. Then we called them tidal waves, and they would close school on a tidal wave alert, and the kids would go down to the cove and get their surfboards. That's how little we knew. True story, yeah. You know, and then it's changed. Gas was cheap, fuel oil was cheap. Electricity was cheap. Those things have all changed. We didn't have people shooting up schools. Those are all things that have occurred in the meantime, and so this school addresses all of those issues at one time.
Okay, and we just have a couple minutes left. Is there anything that any of you would like to add?
One piece was the question of phasing this in. Why haven't we phased this in? Two reasons. One is because it'll definitely cost more. It's one of those situations where right now we know that if you piecemeal it, the architects say that it'll be a significant increase just in the piecemealing of it. The other piece has to do with the bond rates. Right now, having historic lows, that's a huge piece. The other one is who would we leave behind? We have our students currently in unsafe buildings, in unsafe locations. And if we can do this less expensively in one fell swoop, it makes sense.
And I can say this, vote yes, because I'm not, I can do that by law because we are a political action committee. But I really would ask people to understand your questions. If you still need to have them answered, come to one of our forums. And when you get your ballots on Friday, vote yes right away.
If you, your committee, your action committee, do you have a website or a phone number?
Yes, it's it is a Facebook page, and it's Support a Future for Education, so SAFE. And then also we have an AOL.
We do. But the other piece is Seaside School District also has information on its webpage, seaside.k12.or.us.
There you go. See?
And so that is another reference that gives background information as well as a lot of other information.
Well, thank you very much all for being with us here today on Talk of Our Towns. We'll be back next week, and Donna Quinn will be there then. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Support a future.